Nabapatantyatma Samam Patakiras Tata Samam Vishnu Gatim Vipaschitaha. So he's offering due respect to his audience. After all, his audience, or the persons he's associating with, are all sages themselves, rishis, therefore brahmanas, are held in high esteem in Vedic culture, because it's a very high level, it's not just a title or some kind of a post, but in order to be a brahmana, one has to be very pure. Sama, dhamma, tapaksho, cham, shantir, arjavam, evacha, gyanam, vijnanam, astikyam, brahma, karma, subhavajam. Where do you find such persons today like this? Sama, who's control their senses, so everybody's eliminated. Even the biggest so-called religious persons have a hard time controlling their senses. Or what to speak of the learned persons? Sama dhamma, control the mind, control the senses. Sama dhamma tapa, austerity. Shocham, clean. Samam dhamma tapa shocham. Shantir, forgiving. Arjavam, religious, truthful. Jnanam, knowledge. Many times Prabhupada would point out that in the West, even a so-called learned man doesn't even understand about the soul. Doesn't even know what the life force is. In fact, they're teaching right this second in the colleges and universities that life is a combination of chemicals. Isn't it? They're teaching that life is a combination of matter. These are the big scientists, the ones who are supposed to be the most learned. They don't even know what their life force is. So where's the knowledge? And where's the good behavior? A learned person, even according to mundane standards, matravat paradareshu paradravyeshu lostravat, and then the other one is atmanam sarvabhuteshu pashati sapanditaha. A pandit or a learned person is one who sees all women as mother, except his wife, who doesn't covet another man's wealth, and who treats all as he would like to be treated. And then on the spiritual platform, vidya vanayas, vidya 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 vinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva swapaki cha pandita samadarshana. A learned person is one who understands that there's a spirit soul in every body. Every living body has a spirit soul. So this is the qualification for being called a pandit. In neither case, neither from the material point of view or the spiritual point of view, are there any brahmanas. There's no rishis today. Rishi doesn't mean just someone who is able to think, to agitate his mind. But he also has to be qualified so that his mind will think properly. If he himself is infected by the tamagun and rajagun, then he will not be able to understand the transcendental science. His thoughts are of no value. So one may say, oh, how can you say that? He has a very high IQ. His IQ is very high. He's in the Mensa Society. How can you say his thoughts are not valuable? No, they're not valuable because Maya Apritigyana, his intelligence or his knowledge is stolen away by illusion. He himself is in the grip of Maya. Michi Maya Bose Jacho Bese Kacho Habudububai. He's being smashed by the waves of the material energy. So how will he be able to understand the transcendence? It is said that in Kali Yuga, everyone is born Shudra. Jamane Jayate Shudra. And then, but if one undergoes the process of Sangskaret Bhavet Dvija, if the family engages in Sangskaras, Das Bidan Sangskar, 10 types of Sangskaras, then he can be considered Dvija. But in this age, Kloshudra Shambhava, nobody has performed the Sangskaras sufficiently to be called a Dvija or by birth. Because according to the Vedic system, one has to be able to show that his father performed all the Sangskaras, and his father performed all the Sangskaras, and his father, many generations back, he has to prove, if he wants to claim that by birth I'm, but in Kali Yuga, who can show, who can document? But formerly they could document. Before, for example, before a husband and wife would attempt to procreate, they would notify. It would not be a secret thing. The reason they would notify is to validate that this sangskara has been performed. Garbhadhan sangskara. They would announce that now we are going to perform this Garbhadhan sangskara today, and the seed giving ceremony is going to take place. For everyone to know. It's not some secret thing. Maybe there's some accidental pregnancy. Sometimes they say, well, this child was not there. Was kind of unexpected or unwanted or something like that. No. So, Sangskaret Bhavet Dvija becomes twice born. Dvija, twice born. Like the bird. The bird is also called Dvija because it first takes birth from the mother's womb, but it's in an egg, so then it has to come out of the egg also. So, two births. But the Dvija means the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Three groups can be categorized as Dvija. Because these three, they take initiation from the spiritual master. The Shudras don't take initiation because their qualities are not cultivated enough. They're not interested either. If you ask them, would you like to hear from the spiritual master about Brahmagyan? No. No thanks. They're not interested. So, Sangskaret Bhavet Dvija then, Dvija then, Veda Padad Bhavet Vipra. If he studies the Vedas, one who studies the Vedas, he becomes known as a Vipra. There's so many Vedas to study. There's the 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, Vedanta Sutra, 4 Vedas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and more than that also. Then there's the commentaries, the corollaries. So, there's a lot of Vedas to study. But one who studies the Vedas, he's called the Vipra. Sometimes they're called Dvivedi. They study two Vedas or one Veda. Or and Trivedi or Chaturvedi, one who studies four Vedas, he's expert in four Vedas. He's called a Vipra, scholar. This word is used here, Vipaschitaha, one who's very learned. And the next level is Brahmajana Diti Brahmana. One who actually knows Brahman, he's called a Brahmana. And to understand Brahman, at least in the preliminary stage, is to understand the difference between matter and spirit, the difference between spiritual and material, the soul and the body. Well, who understands that? How many professors today understand this? So, that is the Brahmanas. These rishis were not just, they understood, of course, all these things. Far, these were very advanced Brahmanas. They were not discussing even Bhagavad Gita principles here. Bhagavad Gita is the ABCD, spiritual life. So these rishis, they already knew Bhagavad Gita, they knew Upanishads. Now they're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Nigamakalpataror Galitam Palam Shukamakad Amrita Drava Samyutam Bibhata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Ahura Ho Rasika Bhubibhavaka. This Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. It's the essence, saram, of all Vedic knowledge. This is the highest principle to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that anyone can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only ones who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are those engaged in bhakti. Bhakti amam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Otherwise, they're blocked. Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha. Mudho yam nabhijanati lokamamajamavyam. Krishna says, I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I'm always covered by my Maya principle. And thus the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. Only one who engages in bhakti yoga. Then Krishna removes the veil of Maya. He burns away, you could say, the fog. Otherwise, the living entities are in the fog of material illusion. So these rishis are great personalities. They're realized and they want to hear about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the topic. Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavat Purana means about Vishnu, Bhagavan. Vedanti tat tattavidas tattam yajjnanam advayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabjate. Mostly, the Bhagavatam is about Bhagavan. There's some other descriptions too, to give support. But the primary discussion is about Bhagavan, especially in the 10th canto. That's the, you could say, the smiling face. Now, Sutta Goswami is presenting himself as very humble. He even uses a nice term here. He says, my humble self. What is that? Yes, aham. Aham hi prishto. My humble self, I will try as best I can to describe the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu. And just as the birds, little birds fly low, bigger birds fly high, The biggest birds, they fly very high. There are some birds described in the Vedas that fly from planet to planet. That's flying very high, such as Garuda. Krishna says, of birds, I am Garuda, for he's the highest flying bird. But the other birds, there are birds who fly from planet to planet, and they give birth while they're flying. And the eggs, they come out, and by friction, they also hatch in the air as they're falling. There's some friction. Beats up. We were discussing that the other day, what the speed is when something, a falling object. So, it's quite some speed. They give birth while they're flying, or they take birth while they're flying. Anyway, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said the same thing. I can only speak according to my realization. And this is practical. Every devotee should preach according to his realization. One time, Saraswati, by the way, I met Saraswati grown up now. But when she was a little girl, little baby, 3 years old, Prabhupada was very fond of her, the daughter of Malati and Shyamasundar. So, Prabhupada used to praise her, and he was very proud of her, that she would say, do you know who is Krishna? She'd go up to some gentleman, do you know who is Krishna? And they would say, no. She'd say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She didn't know very much, but she knew that. So she preached, that's what she knew. Or, Prabhupada said, you can go door to door and ask everyone, will you please chant Hare Krishna? That's also preaching. According to one's realization. Now, someone may say, okay, well I have a lot of realization. I'll explain about Radha Krishna and the gopis to everyone. No, that's also not required. Because to the ordinary people, what is the good of explaining about that? They won't understand the first thing. What did Lord Chaitanya do? How did he preach? To the common man? Harinama. He engaged in big kirtans and he encouraged them to chant Hare Krishna, that's all. And then to the learned persons, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, or the sannyasi, other learned persons, he would speak philosophy, Vedanta philosophy. And only to very, very exalted, advanced devotees like Ramananda Roy and Saurabh Damodar would he speak about Krishna and the gopis. So this idea of presenting it out for everyone, it doesn't work. It's not recommended. Now, sometimes people do that to attract people, to try to get some followers. They tell them, oh, we'll give you some Radha Krishna special. No, we have to be careful of this tendency to make it cheap. Sahaja. The sahaja tendency is there that people think that they're more advanced than they are. And so they think, let me hear about Krishna and the gopis. It's the most exalted. But if they themselves are not qualified, then it won't actually benefit them. It will cause them harm. Instead of becoming purified, Prabhupada said they'll become putrefied. Therefore, premature hearing of Krishna's intimate pastimes is putrefaction, not purification. So, there's a question here. Michael. Turn it up a bit. Make it a little louder. Go ahead.
How scientists today are coming to another level of discussion in terms of consciousness, the nature of consciousness, and they're becoming more approaching Eastern, you know, the Vedas and Eastern thought, in that sense, Eastern. Not Eastern, but and in term, metaphysical, you know, antimatter, I guess. But do you have any comment on that? I'm not so much in tune myself directly.
Well, they like to dabble, of course, and even if they, whatever interest they have in the Vedas, or that's good. But even if one dabbles in the Vedas without proper guidance, he'll make a mess of it. He won't be qualified to understand anything. So they'll come up with the wrong conclusion. Now, the other thing is that they, although they may say that they're interested now in looking, but it doesn't meet the criterion that they have for science. They have a strict criterion that we do not accept anything that does not, cannot be proven by our sensual perception. That's the meaning of science. That's their credo. This is their regulative principles. So anything, as soon as you say, well, this cannot be understood by the mind and the senses, they immediately say, well, then it's not science, and then we're not interested in it. It can't be verifiable. So this is the problem. There is a block from the very beginning. They have sealed themselves off by saying, we only accept what is verifiable to our mind and senses. And therefore they become, as Prabhupada said, they're in the category of the frog in the well. Because the frog in the well only accepted what he could perceive, and his perception was a 3-foot well.
But then what's the value of the whole Bhaktivedanta Institute? And
the value is to convince them that that is a fallacious platform to be on. The value is that the Bhaktivedanta Institute is supposed to teach them that your eyes are blind, sir. What will you be able to see with your blind eyes? Why don't you see through the eyes of Scripture? Or, even if they can't accept Scripture, then at least we should show them how the defect of the method of science is. Just like our Drutakarma Prabhu is showing them that even Darwin's theory, he's not even gotten into the science per se, but he's just pointing out that the methodology was defective. Even the methodology had cheating in it and deficiencies, what to speak of the other theories. So that's good. We have to show them that your method to understand the origin of life is ridiculous. How can you understand what is the origin after the fact? Millions and billions of years afterwards, you're going to go back and piece it all together by speculation. What kind of science is that? Why don't you, if you say science, why don't you hear from the witnesses, the eyewitnesses? What are why eyewitnesses? Well, God is an eyewitness, Vishnu, and Brahma. At least hear from those two eyewitnesses. And some of the other persons. How about those who were the beginning souls, the first sons of Brahma? How about the Kumaras? Now they can tell you, yes, We appeared, and when we appeared, there was only Brahma and Vishnu. That was it. That's eyewitnesses, so you have so many. And then the other sons of Brahma, they can tell you, yes, there were no women. There were no women to see. Just my brothers and I, and our father, Brahma. Someone said, but where was your mother? Well, we didn't have a mother. No mother? No mother. Because Brahma, he produced these sons from the mind. So, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Haribol.